Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Are you here to show how great you are? Political candidates are spending billions to claim that they're the one that can save America. But Zechariah holds before us the humility of Jesus. He came not to show how great he indeed was, but verse 9, lowly and riding on a colt of a donkey. For like a colt, he was born to be a bearer of burdens. And that's why the Lord says, behold. Zechariah must have been scratching his head. This is a king? Even with this prophecy, Israel didn't recognize him. We would not if the Lord did not open our eyes, yes, to behold, to see that this is how our king has come. Not showing how great he is. Not as a politician claiming he'll solve all the problems in the world. Not as a conquering hero riding on a prancing stallion with an army behind him to tyrannically exert his will on everyone. Not as a basketball superstar outscoring every rival. He would not come like any other, exalting his own self-interest. Verse 9, he is just and having salvation. He came doing what was right and just for everyone around him, including you and me, supplying our saving righteousness. And though he was loving and kind, he was not received, but suffered for it. He wasn't accepted. He wasn't treated as a king, but rather rejected, framed, tortured, condemned, nailed to a cursed tree and mocked. Oh, he saved others, but look, he can't save himself. His disciples did all believe that he was just and that he was humble. But they concluded that in his humility, his cause was lost. He'd failed. The Emmaus disciples summed it up. We believe that he was the one that should have redeemed Israel. But he failed. Do we do the same? Do we conclude that this way of Jesus, of humbly doing what is right, is just a path for losers? That's the way our flesh thinks, isn't it? They could all see his humility. Many could see his righteousness. But Zechariah also foretold that this way of Jesus is the only one that wins. He would have salvation. Having borne the burden of our sins, the Father delivered him out of death to justify the world. You have been declared righteous in him. Verse 10 describes the peace that this king thus won for you and me. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. It's interesting that this prophecy of Palm Sunday is sandwiched between a prophetic description on the one hand of Alexander the Great thundering across Palestine, imposing fear and slavery and death upon all, to do what? To try to prove how great he was. And then he died. And on the other hand, the Maccabean Civil War that in the following centuries brought devastating terrors on all because men again had to try to prove they could get their own self-interest. The kingdom of God thus always seems like a tiny little rowboat in the midst of a raging hurricane of man's tyranny. Following Jesus, you may then feel like a little defenseless lamb surrounded by devouring wolves. The imposing weapons of this world's warfare are all around us, just like they were around Judah. And as a result, we are tempted to adopt the weapons of this world. They are, after all, the weapons of our own flesh. They may no longer be chariots and bows, but backstabbing gossip and feuding anger. The world says divide and conquer. Seize your self-interest for yourself. Fulfill your own personal pleasures. But all these sins do is fragment our lives with more anger, fear, and distrust. Jesus does not establish his kingdom with such carnal weapons, not with horses and chariots, not with anger and revenge, not with guided missiles and F-15s. But how? Verse 10 says, by speaking peace. Jesus spoke thus to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. But for this cause I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Those who are of the truth hear my voice. Even from the cross, abused by all, Jesus spoke that peace for you and me. Father, forgive them. By nature, we shout for our self-interest, for our greatness, for earthly glory. But Jesus lived the humility and righteousness that actually won the spiritual victory for you and me. He wants to give you that victory. He speaks to you the peace. Your sins are forgiven. He unites us in that peace that passes human understanding. He leads us, even though we're oppressed, to speak his saving peace to one another. Your sin is forgiven. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hymn 179, On My Heart.